Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Welcome, everybody. This is Judy Seeger, and I'm so happy that you are on Cancer Winners Radio Show. You are on the show to hear the truth about how people have really healed themselves from all different kinds of cancer. We have people with breast cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic, all different kinds of cancer at all different stages. And they have been kind enough to take time off and share their story with you so that you could hear what they went through. Some people have gone through chemo, radiation surgery. Some people have not. They just use alternative therapies. But in any direction that they went, they all were determined to live, to heal, and to have the life that they were intended to have. And so I created this show for you, the listener, that maybe you're confused, maybe you're frustrated with information out there and you don't know who to talk to. I mean, where are these people who've really healed and what's really going on with them and did they really have cancer and, you know, all those questions that we end up thinking about and the skepticism, of course. So these people are real. They have been from all over the world, actually, that have been going through their healing journey. And I do have some requirements. I do ask that they've been shown that they have had cancer for sure and that they have healed for a certain length of time. So this is not just some fly-by-night story that, oh, we're just going to tell you, you know, all this stuff could heal no matter what. Every single one of these people worked hard. They were determined. They did their homework, and they chose their path of healing. So tonight is no exception. We have a wonderful woman who is willing to share her time, and she's calling all the way from Guatemala. She is English-speaking, but she is living in Guatemala, and she's going to share her story of what she went through in her healing journey. So before we do that, I do want to let you know that in order to listen to these radio shows on an ongoing basis, and I have lots and lots of radio shows just like this that I've archived now, and they're all going to be on my new website, which is Complete Cleanse System. There we go. I'm so used to saying my other one, and I have to make sure I get the right one for you. So it's CompleteCleanseSystem.com, and all the radio shows, the webinars, everything is going to be on there. And we're going to have a couple of, actually, new websites, new directories, all different kinds of stuff. But that one is going to be up and running soon. And all you have to do is sign up, and you'll be able to get not only the radio show replay on an ongoing basis, but share it and let other people listen in on it. I always tell people, I said, hey, if you liked what you heard and you want other people to hear it, especially other people in your family, you'll be able to do that. Just have to go to the website and sign up. Again, that's CompleteCleanseSystem.com. That is the new name of the new site that we have for you. All right, so our hour, of course, is going to go very quickly because there's so much to talk about. And so I just want to welcome our guest, Ann Cameron. Welcome, Ann. Thank you so much for being on the radio show today.
It's a pleasure, and your shows are inspiring.
Well, thank you.
That's
the whole purpose of it. Yeah, we want to inspire, motivate, and get the truth out about this whole connection with cancer and healing and how it's done. So thank you so much for your time. And Anne, we want to start out by getting an overview of what kind of cancer you had and what your story was right from the beginning when you were diagnosed. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, first of all, I had two skin cancers about 6 years ago, and that was nothing because they did Mohs surgery, got a good on the skin cancers, and they were gone, and it was no big deal. And I always think of myself as very healthy, so when I then began to get sick, which was 2011, my age is now 70, and at that time I was, I guess, 66 or so, and I felt kind of lethargic, and I went to a clinic where I was anemic, and they prescribed iron pills, And they didn't tell me that there was anything possibly serious about this. I had no idea. So from then on, I've decided, boy, if I get a hangnail, I'm going to go look up hangnail and no matter what, try and find out what's going on. Because I thought, well, I'm now past 65. Maybe I'm just slowing down. Maybe this is life after 65. But then it gradually got worse, and I lived part of the time in Oregon and part of the time in Guatemala. So at the time that it started getting really bad, I was in Guatemala, and I had an acute pain that just kept getting worse that I blamed on an exercise person who had had me do the plank and hold it for a minute on my elbows and my toes. And so I had this explanation for what was going on for months. And then I got two parasites in Guatemala. So I was very sick for 2 months. And so I blamed the parasites and I blamed the exercise lady, although it was now getting close to 6 months since I had seen her, so I really wasn't being too fair to her. Anyway, I got the parasites cleared up and the pain was still there. So I changed doctors and went to a new doctor who sent me for a CT scan, and it showed a mass in my abdomen. And immediately he sent me to a colon cancer surgeon who changed his schedule to accommodate me and do surgery. And so it went from my just feeling lousy to suddenly finding out I had cancer and getting surgery within a week. And he thought the surgery was completely successful, but he recommended that I get chemotherapy, and I was sent to an oncologist, and he and the surgeon and the oncologist both said that it wasn't mandatory that I have chemo, but that they thought it would be better for me. Although that the type of colon tumor that I had was controversial to have chemo for this, they said. And from now on, I prick up my ears anytime I hear the word controversial or not mandatory and wonder what it means, and does it really mean I don't need to do what they're doing at all, or that it might hurt me to do it. But anyway, I thought the surgeon was wonderful. I liked the oncologist, and I immediately said, yes, I'll do the chemo. But then the wound from the surgical operation got infected. So they had to postpone the chemo. So because when you have rapidly growing cells filling a wound, they can be killed along with cancer. And furthermore, they didn't know that I had cancer anymore because it appeared that he had gotten it all. So as the time went by, while I was waiting to heal the wound, I started reading about this kind of cancer and the kind of tumor I had, which is called a mismatch repair deficient tumor. It means it has, when it was copying the cells that became the cancer, it didn't just make one mistake, it made different ones, so that the cells weren't homogenous, they weren't all alike. So I read on the internet that made it much harder for chemotherapy to kill the cancer, because the chemo would be directed toward one kind of cell, but it wouldn't really affect the other cells in this tumor enough, possibly. And then, meantime, I was reading about all the bad side effects that I could have from the chemo that she had recommended. I looked that up, too, and it said that I could have numb or burning hands and feet, which is called peripheral neuropathy.
Right.
I would be anemic again. And being anemic is really, which doesn't sound like much, is really horrible because you don't have any cells carrying you oxygen the way they should, so you feel just wiped out and also like indifferent to life and nothing really matters. And that's the way I was feeling before the surgery. And I just came to the conclusion that I couldn't bear to feel that way again. And then besides, I didn't know that I had the cancer. I thought I would do something as a preventive for having the cancer come back. And I heard about a Hungarian doctor who had cured people or prolonged their lives with beets, eating beets, I don't know, 5 pounds a day of beets. And I guess the way most of us are these days, I like convenience. So I found there was a powder of evaporated beet powder. In other words, they made juice out of the beets. Then they, at low temperature, they evaporate the beets, and they put them in this powder, which tastes pretty good. So that was my fallback. I'm going to be fine. And the wound healed. And meantime, my chances for success with chemotherapy were dropping. It dropped because I had this funny mismatch kind of tumor. It dropped because I was supposed to originally start chemo in January, in July, and I couldn't start until September. So first they had said that I had a 90% chance of being over it for good with chemo. Then they said, well, now it's September, you have a 50% chance. And then I had my normal personality with a tendency to rebel a little bit and investigate on my own came back, and I said, yes, and besides it's this mismatched tumor, and some cancer centers say don't use chemo on this. And then they said, oh, yes, well, I guess we'll say that your chance of curing this with chemo are now half of what the people who don't have mismatch. So instead of having a 50% chance to cure it with chemo, now you have a 25% chance. So at that point, I again refused chemo, kept on with my beets, and then in early November of 2012, I went back for my 6 month appointment and had a scan, and the cancer had metastasized and gone to two tumors between my lungs and some spots. And I was just fairly devastated and thinking, well, this beet powder is more like cancer fertilizer than anything else. It did nothing for me. So then they said, well, helpfully they told me that this, and I had a PET scan follow-up, which showed these tumors growing very aggressively and avid for sugar. And so the oncologist proposed the same kind of chemo that she had proposed before. And once again, I decided against it just because of the horror of making myself sick. At that point, I felt just great, only I had cancer, but, you know, in two tumors, and they're growing fast. So that didn't make me feel too good.
Yeah.
But I just decided I'm not pouring these poisons into my body. I won't do it. I won't make myself anemic again. Realizing, I mean, it's a little irrational, since if I had proceeded to have cancer a long time, I would have become anemic and all that. And but I didn't. I thought, I won't do it to myself. And with that, I decided, I said I wouldn't do it. And my family was upset. My boyfriend really thought I should go to a cancer survivor group and hear what other people said, because nobody can really believe that all this industrial apparatus of curing cancer with poisons isn't necessary. You know, it has to exist for some reason, and I think the main reason is profit and the fact that people haven't discovered anything better, and doctors have no education almost in nutrition. They have only 25 hours in their whole medical career, and it's usually taught very early. So when it comes to applying it to an actual disease, they really don't know very much. So so there they are doing the best they can with the tools that the big drug companies are giving them, which are enormously expensive and fail very often, as we all know. Anyhow, I wanted to do something with this cancer. I was very prepared, though, to die rather than do chemo, partly because my husband had had cancer and had refused chemo, and he had died 5 years before. And he had refused it because it was very likely not going to save him, because he had a kidney problem as well, and the chemo agents cause kidney damage, and he thought that if he lived on, he would be going to kidney dialysis in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank attached to the wheelchair, and he said he would not live like that. Anyway, at that point, we tried about, or I got him to take about 20 different capsules and of all kinds of things. Some of that I have listed, or I've listed them on a website called Chris Beat Cancer, and one of my responses to somebody in these, put in these 20 things that didn't work for him. So at any rate, because of my attitude about chemo, I said no, but I looked for something else. And after a few days of looking, I found a letter from a man named Ralph Cole, who had had squamous cell cancer on his neck in 2005, and he had cured it by drinking the juice of 5 pounds of carrots every day. And I chose his idea because this letter, which was just part of somebody else's website, was so level-headed, and he wasn't selling anything, and he wasn't claiming that this was going to cure everybody, and also it was simple. I looked at some things where, you know, you get rid of all your Teflon pans and go through the cabinets and anything that has a poisonous chemical in it, all your cleaning supplies, you throw them out, and then after you've done that, then you get up in the morning and you have your garlic first thing, and then you have your ginseng tea, and then you, you know, then you have your breakfast with X and your lunch with Y. And I thought I was not willing to live like that. First, I didn't know, well, of all these things that are being done by the people who are doing so many things, which ones actually work? And I also didn't want to make the focus of my life curing cancer. I wanted to be determined about it, but I didn't want to have my entire day filled with that. Because I'm a writer, I write children's books, and I just have other things that bring joy to me. And curing cancer is very important, but unless you have other things going on in your life, I think it's unhealthy to focus entirely on that cancer.
Anna, I'll sort of get into details. Yeah, we'll get into it in a minute, because there's just a lot of great points that I want to bring out here, and appreciate you sharing your story in this overview. So when you were first diagnosed with the cancer, it was actually colon cancer then that you had, correct? And what stage was it at, do you know?
Well, they told me that it was stage 3.
Okay.
No, actually, they said it was stage 2B. And the difference is that it hadn't gone into the lymph nodes.
Okay.
But it had gone into the muscle in my abdomen.
Okay. And when they diagnosed it, then you were in the U.S. or you were in Guatemala at the time?
I was in the U.S.
Okay. So when you had the surgery, that was in the U.S. also?
And that was also in the U.S., yes.
Okay. And then as you were doing your homework and all that, that was all done in the U.S. or were you already in Guatemala by then?
No, that was in the U.S.
Okay, so
except that now, you know, I have a computer, and so I can find out anything anywhere in the world now.
Of course, yeah. But people always ask me, you know, where are they when they're getting their diagnosis or their therapy or whatever. So we just want to make that clear for our listeners where you are, because you said that you've been living in Guatemala for some time. So this was all done in the U.S. You got it diagnosed, and you had some surgery, but you were bound and determined not to do the chemo. At the time, though, were you basically by yourself as you're going through all this, or did you have any support from family members?
My boyfriend was living with me, and I think love has a lot to do with the cure. When I had got out of the hospital with this surgical wound and could hardly walk around, and I got back to the apartment, and he had set up a footstool so I could get into the bed easily, and arms around the toilet so I could use that easily, and everything was immaculate. And he did everything possible to make everything easy for me. And my family is on the East Coast of the U.S., so my sister came to visit and to try to persuade me to maybe do the chemo, but she was fairly tactful about it. Mm-hmm. And other friends, you know, rallied. And so I wasn't alone, which I think, I'm sure, makes it much easier.
Yeah, I mean, some people have to do it alone, and they make it. I mean, if they're bound and determined, they're going to do it, and other people have support, and just depends. But it really comes down to what is it you want? And what I hear in you, in your voice, and I'm sure my listeners are picking that up as well, is you were just bound and determined not to do the chemo. You knew you didn't want to do that and that there was another way. So when you heard about this whole beet thing and then, you know, trying that out, I mean, did you pick that up through research or where did you find that?
Yeah, I you know, I guess you just go along and look for anti-cancer substances, and then I had hit on the beets, and I tried to find out about that. But the doctor who did the beets is now long dead, and there was very little to find out.
Well, the thing is,
but
is that
I think
the
I was
beets
looking
are very
for
high
one,
in sugar.
One thing.
Right, but the beets
yeah.
are very high in sugar. But then you switched to carrot juice, which is also very high in sugar. So I want the listeners to understand why you went from beets, which are high in sugar, and of course we know sugar feeds cancer no matter the source, and then you switched over to carrot. How could that help you and not the the beets? I mean, what was the difference there?
The difference was that this was a live man who said it worked, and I phoned him up, and he assured me that this was true and gave me more details. So I didn't think really well about the sugar aspect of it, and in fact I don't believe that's important, because the cancer cells are going to get, the whole body's fed on glucose. The cancer cells want more of it faster than everything else, so they build new blood vessels so they can get that sugar. But it doesn't matter what you do to lower your amount of sugar, because the cancer cells are going to get it anyway, because your whole body needs it.
Right, it needs sugar no matter what, and you know we have to be careful because that's almost like an open door for people to say, "Oh, good, that means I can have any kind of sugar I want." I'm like, no.
And I did. I mean, I did, and I was cured
did.
Because there are chemicals in the carrot. There are two of them. One is called luteolin, another one is falcarinol, and they have been proved to destroy cancer.
Yeah, and that's
so
the thing
you,
that people have to
you
understand.
Get them,
is the
if you
therapy,
take the, excuse me?
The Gerson therapy is focused on doing the carrot juice. They also do other therapies as well, of course, like coffee enemas and changing the diet and lifestyle and whatnot. So there are important ingredients in carrots that are not in other foods for sure. I just don't want people to get confused. Because
yeah, I mean, I'm going to incur, I don't think I had a lot of sugar other than the carrot juice, but I did have, I would have pancakes full of fruit. Once I got back to Guatemala, there's all this tropical fruit, so I'd have papaya, melon, but what else did they put in them? Everything nice that you can think of that's a fruit in these pancakes at this one restaurant I went to. I don't think that my diet was ideal, and I think maybe if I had to do it now, I would have improved my diet more than I did. I stopped eating meat. I had salads. I had these pancakes. I also had pizza. I had occasional ice cream, and I don't recommend that people do that. But it didn't stop my being cured, because the thing are these two ingredients, falcarinol and luteolin, and if you look them up on the internet, you will find that they have killed cancer in animals, they've killed cancer in test tube, you know, little tests on cultures, and in the case of the falcarinol, it's been used by a doctor, Kirsten Brandt, in England on rats, and in a lower dose than what Ralph or I took, it stopped the growth of large tumors in the rats. They were a third fewer large tumors when she gave them either falcarinol or carrots.
Yeah, and for sure, I mean, like I say, the Gerson therapy uses a tremendous amount of carrot juice throughout the day. And the bottom line is, and I want to make this clear to the listeners, is that there are many, many ways of going on the cancer healing journey. Anne has used one way which worked for her because she was convicted of it. She knew that it was the right course for her. But you have to use common sense. You have to do your homework. You have to see if it's the right fit for you. But obviously it worked, because here you are, Anne, a couple years later, and now where are you with your cancer diagnosis?
The cancer was stopped in 8 weeks. I had the PET scan in November, and in January 9th of 2013, they found that the cancer was not growing and had shrunk. And then I had another CT scan in Guatemala in March, and the oncologist didn't tell me I had no cancer, but the report said that I had no abnormalities in my lymph nodes, that they were all normal size, and the lymph nodes was where the cancer had been. So I think I was actually cured in March. And then in August, I had another CT back in Portland, Oregon, and they said there was no sign of cancer. And then I had a colonoscopy, an endoscopy, and my colon was normal, and they had no inflammation, which I think is due to the carrots, which are very anti-inflammatory.
Right. So how much of the carrot juice were you drinking in a day?
40 ounces, in other words, 5 8-ounce glasses. I want to say that this has also worked for five other people,
mm-hmm.
Besides Ralph and me.
Mm-hmm.
So
8 ounces per day of fresh
carrot juice.
Carrots, were they organic carrots?
No, they were just ordinary carrots.
See, this is amazing. I've had a few of the people last year on the show that, very similar to you, did not change their diet very much, pretty much stayed on the way they had been eating, but then just would add one therapy like this and they were healed. So this is not really unusual. I mean, it does happen and it does work. So this is very cool. You had just 5 8-ounce of carrot juice a day. Was it straight carrot juice or was it diluted?
I added to it apple and ginger.
Okay.
To make it taste better, basically. Although, both apples and ginger are anti-cancer ingredients.
Right, but apple is also
I have a different
too, so.
Theory about doing it, everything rather than a one ingredient, you know, like a one ingredient thing like I did, which is that all these different substances work different ways, and that by trying too many at one time, if there's synergy between them, great. But maybe there isn't. Maybe they work a different way, and they will block the path that the carrots or the anti-cancer ingredient in carrots needs to follow to stop the cancer. So I'm really in favor of doing one thing or maybe one thing that has the things that you are pretty sure are compatible. Like I think celery and parsley are compatible because they have the same ingredients, but I wouldn't do something quite exotic that might be working a different way.
How would a person know if it was not compatible?
I guess you would know if it doesn't work, then you can say, if you're taking many things, you can say, well, something in here is not working. But
right.
Then you don't know how to find it. Where if you use one thing like carrots, and you can say, since for everybody that it's worked within 8 weeks, and in some cases within 4 weeks. So if it's not working in 4 or 5 weeks, in the case of carrots, you say, I have to try something else. What will I try now?
Yeah, well, and that's how we were taught over 30 years ago. I know Dr. Norman Walker, who wrote many, many books and lived to over 100, and he believed that very strongly, is to just do a mono diet or one thing at a time. And he was very much into the juicing one thing at a time and using it for different purposes for that very reason, because he said if you're mixing too many things, not only you don't know what works, but it could actually go against your whole program, similar to what you said. So, again, it's the way you chose,
yeah.
And people need to be exposed to this and say, hey, you know, that makes sense for me. I think I'm going to go that way, or no, this is not for me, and move on, which is fine. I mean, that's what the show is all about. So, Anne, you are in the end part of your writing, as far as you said that you have a book that you have written about this whole process. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's the whole story of the diagnosis and the treatment and my doubts and what I found out about chemotherapy, of why, I mean, I would think I was rational to make the choice against it. And then it's about why carrots work. And there's a new field of study, relatively, maybe 15 years old, called epigenetics. And we tend to think of our genes controlling what happens with us. But it turns out that genes don't operate the same. There are pro-cancer genes and there are anti-cancer genes in our bodies. And it turns out that their expression, what they do in us, depends on many things, on stress levels, on our environment, on our emotions, and on what we eat. And so when you use the carrots, somehow or other, they stimulate the anti-cancer genes to express themselves and stop blockages that are keeping them from expressing themselves. So the change can be very dynamic. And with carrots, it all happens within 4 or 5 weeks. So I wanted to write a book that is footnoted to the nth with, that is readable, but the evidence for everything I say comes from scientific journals. Because people, if you just say this happened for me, doesn't convince people. They say either the person doesn't know what happened to her, this can't be true. But in fact, these big drug companies are taking out patents on thousands of plant compounds that they hope to change slightly so they can patent them and use them as cancer treatments.
Right,
but
explain that to people because they don't understand how come these substances that are from plants cannot be patented versus a pharmaceutical company now is coming along and changing it, now it can be patented. How does that work so that people understand that, Anne?
Well, they change one little chemical ingredient. Well, I could give a comparison to estrogen, natural estrogen in the body, which women can take and it doesn't hurt them. But then the kind of progestin is not progesterone, for instance. It's been altered. And so it will have slightly different effects in the body and may be dangerous for you. So when they take a part of a plant, say there's a luteolin in the plant, as I'm telling you about the carrots, so if they can figure out a way to change luteolin by one molecule or something, or one chemical bond, and they can say, oh, we have something new, and this is patented. So you're much better off to get what the whole plant has rather than what maybe they'll bring you in 15 or 20 years, because for them to figure out how to change the thing and make it no longer natural so they can patent it, it's going to take decades. So here there's all this information about celery, grapes, apple peel, avocados, and so they're going to work with all these things and turn them into something that they naturally aren't and then sell them back to you in a capsule. And of course I think we're kind of conditioned to look for capsules, and
yeah, well,
it doesn't work
is
as well
that
as the natural.
The nutritional industry is changing around, and people don't realize how much is changing. They have already changed it quite a bit in the EU, in the European countries, and people who want a pure vitamin C or vitamin A or vitamin E or, you know, any of the vitamins that we take for granted, it's changed, and they can't get it anymore. Law passed last year in April that is keeping people from getting what they really need and want. And so it will change here as well. It's just a matter of time, and they are making this happen. And so people have to get on the stick and understand and then know what to do about it. So this is very important news, and people have to know what their options are. So the book is about your journey and about the epigenetics and whatnot. Plus, you have a lot of resources. So tell us the name of the book and how people will be able to get a hold of this.
Okay, the book is Curing Cancer with Carrots. And I have a website, an email, which is also curingcancerwithcarrots@hotmail.com. And people can write me at the email and ask if it's out and if I have any new information about what's going to be in it. or I think they can get it directly by writing, by probably it will be on Amazon.com, or if not, they can write me and I can tell them how to get it.
Okay, so we'll have it on our site as well, and it's not a problem. As long as people are coming to the site, we'll have all these books available for everybody, and then they could see what's going on and how they could get a hold of it. But the more books people read and the more that they understand, that's really backed by evidence, not only by your journey but by science, the better. And it could help them understand, you know, the whole big picture of what's going on. So
I'd like to mention Ralph Cole's website. I mean, he's the man who gave me this cure by telling me about it, and he now has a website which is called cancerisover.org, and the first letter of each word is capitalized. And also I was helped by Chris Wark of Chris Beat Cancer, and those are two sites that are, I think, are very valuable for people, and Ralph also explains about the carrots.
Did Ralph have colon cancer?
He had a squamous cell cancer, and he had big tumors the size, he says, of eggs on his neck, and he had radiation, which made them go away, but he also lost all his teeth, and his salivary glands don't function right yet. It's 7 years later, and he has trouble swallowing. Yeah. So he got rid of his with this traditional treatment, but then when they came back, a woman who had used Gerson therapy told him that she thought the most effective part of that was the carrot. So he did carrot juice. And in 2 weeks, no, wait a minute, he saw this in a few days. These were on his chest, little like grains of rice, the tumors that came back. He saw them start to disappear in 2 days, and they were gone in 8 weeks, all of them.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
And so I thought it made a very good, and he said when he used three glasses of carrot juice a day, it didn't work. They stayed stable, but they didn't go away. And then when he went to five, they started disappearing immediately. And it's kind of handy that he had a visible cancer, because I, you know, really had no idea what was going on with mine until I had tests. Mm-hmm. But since he could see it, he could see the progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's so exciting, is he's able to see it and find out what was going on. So you didn't get your cancer monitored except when you went in for tests. And what kind of tests did you go in for then, Ann?
I had CT scan. Well, when the first it was diagnosed with a CT scan on, I think it was on November 9th, and then on November 27th, I had a PET scan. Then in January, I had a CT scan. In March, I had a CT scan. And then in last August. And the oncologist wanted me to have another test about right now, but I'm waiting until July. Mm-hmm. The CT scans give you 400 times the radiation of an ordinary X-ray.
Yeah.
So I think that one shouldn't use them too much.
Yeah, that's very important for people to hear again. So CT scans are 400 times giving out more radiation than a regular X-ray. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, because X-rays, we already know, have caused a lot of problems. That's been coming out more and more. And so people have to understand when they're being monitored, is choose your way of monitoring carefully, people. It's very important. You don't want to just know what's going on with your cancer. You want to be wise in your monitoring, and you want to use therapies that are not going to aggravate your body and tear down your immune system in any way, shape, or form. So there's many ways to do it, blood work, many, many different ways. But at any rate, so you've been monitoring it and watching it. Now, when you first started the carrot juice, after you've been on the beet juice, did you notice any difference as far as anything else in your body?
Yeah, I felt very good. And I, it turns out that there's serotonin in both the ingredients. Well, it's in the carrots. And serotonin is a mood upper and makes you calm. And I was, or maybe it was that I was sobered by what was going on, but I was much calmer than normal. Mm-hmm. And quite peaceful and determined. And I didn't have many mood fluctuations at all.
Mm-hmm. And you said
that's
that
one thing. I turned orange slightly, and that is good for you.
Why did you turn orange? People will ask that. Why do you turn orange if you drink carrot juice?
The pigment in the carrots, for some, apparently that's what it is, the beta carotene, which is the orange part, stays in your skin. And you see, I mean, I think I didn't look very orange. I think some people who use more carrot juice get quite visibly orange. But you could see, and I'm now taking about a glass a day, and I can see around my knuckles that they're slightly orange. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, and that effect of the carrots protects you from skin cancers, and is very beneficial.
Yeah, we just don't want to scare people that they turn too orange. I mean, the liver is dumping out.
It goes away when you stop. You know, it goes away even usually before you stop, and because it's not vitamin A, it's beta carotene. It doesn't stress your liver at all.
Right,
there's
exactly.
a big difference between beta carotene and vitamin A.
Exactly. Yeah, there's many forms of vitamins that are synthetic versus natural, and this is coming straight from the food. And hey, you know, would you rather be the color orange, or would you rather have your cancer? I mean, I think it's a no-brainer that a little bit of skin turns a little bit of orange. It's not a big deal. And it goes away, like you say, as soon as you stop the carrot juice, it's not a big deal.
One lady wrote me that her mother, who was feeling good on carrot juice, but she wants to stop because she thinks it's stained her teeth, which I don't think is possible. And so we had to say, well, you know, which would you rather have, stained teeth or cancer?
Yeah, exactly. No, I've never heard that one. But, you know, different things happen in the body, so who's to say what's going on, what else she's doing. So, Anne, as far as you changed a couple of other things, you said that you didn't eat meat anymore. Did you stop completely with all kinds of meat?
No, I didn't. I still eat chicken. I had fish. I would occasionally, maybe once a month, I would have meat, or maybe twice a month, something like that. I thought... I had gone on a diet before I got the cancer, where the meat proponent type diet by a book by Barry Groves said, well, that's natural to us, and have a high fat diet. And so I had a high fat diet and bacon every day. And you know, I would like to say that if I got the cancer, it was because of the stress of and grief over my husband's death, but it may be just that I pigged out on bacon.
Yeah, I love the honesty. Yeah, it could be taken. Well, yeah, I mean, the cancer comes from different sources. So when you went through that with your husband, I'm sure it took a big toll on you, both emotionally and physically. I mean, it's very hard to watch somebody go through that. And other than taking care of the diet a little bit, did you do anything as far as emotionally, spiritually, anything to take care of that?
Oh, yes, I did, as a matter of fact. There was another children's book writer who's in France and has become a healer, and she gave me meditation things. And one of the things was tell your body that it is perfect, it has its perfect blueprint for how it should be, and it can return to that. And she said, when you wake up in the morning, put your hand on your heart and say, now the light has returned and let all darkness leave me. And she gave me lists of words, which would be like, you know, faith, loyalty, generosity, hope, that were serve to focus me not on my body, but on that there were things that were worthwhile about me. You know, whether and that were more worthwhile and more important in life than the survival of the body. So every day I would wake up and be more focused on my relations with other people and how I behaved and being loving than on what's going on with myself.
Who was the person?
Her name is Kate Banks. She has wonderful children's books. I don't know. She didn't charge me anything for this, and I don't know how many people she helps, I mean, or how many people she sees or charges,
okay.
And she may just do this out of the goodness of her heart. She had terrible pelvic infection and pain, and not cancer, I guess, and she cured it by learning Reishi and many different techniques. And she warned me that, and was, she said, cancer is a problem of signaling in the body, of the body not communicating well within itself to cure the cancer, losing its way to communicate with itself. And that she said she thought that whatever treatment you really believed in was the one you should use, but that that handling it another way than chemo or radiation would be good.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, everybody has to look to see if it's the right fit for them. We'll see if we could track her down, and it's something that she has some things for meditation, because the power of words is very, very important in the healing journey, and dealing with where you are emotionally is such an emotional roller coaster when you're going through cancer. So this is very, very important. And every tool that I could possibly find to help people is absolutely the most important thing to get them through. And if this is somebody that we could track down, we will go track them down.
I will write her and give her a link to your email. So
that'd be great,
Ann.
We appreciate that. Okay, that's wonderful. All right, and the the time, of course, is going by real fast. You mentioned that there's a few other people that are doing well with this, and it does work for different people as they go through it. Other than the juice, other than changing a little bit of the diet and whatnot, did you do any other type of therapy? Did you take any other supplements or anything else like that?
After the cancer was stopped, several months after, I started using for about a month. I used Longvita curcumin, which is a nanoparticle curcumin, and something called Activa Immune, which is a broccoli nanoparticle. And these were both developed at the University of California, and there are lots of tests on them that show that they're effective against cancer and maybe Alzheimer's and other things. So I used those for about a month. I found they were expensive. And so after a month or so, I just decided I don't need these. The carrots will do it. And as a cancer, the carrots already had cured me, but I didn't know that since the oncologist in Guatemala didn't tell me I was cured, even though
right.
The report made it clear.
Right. And did you do any of the therapies, any kind of therapies that you added to your program?
No. But ice cream I thought would build my spirit, so I used that, and let's see what else, and the fruit pancakes. Let's see, and I think it's very important to exercise more, but I didn't. So I'm thinking, you know, I think I need to. I mean, I think there are always cancer cells in us, and my diet isn't ideal. And carrots are wonderful, but I can't count that would always save me or. I want to improve a bit more with my diet, but all that it took, as far as I could tell, were the carrots. A friend in Spain did some healing for me, which I thought that I sensed that I had a very happy feeling in my chest. Now, I don't know, that gets into the very subjective, but it may be that was very important for me, and it was in that I thought, he's taking his time to do this, he really cares for me, and that feeling that you're cared for,
yes.
It's like, well, what worth is my life, you know, if it becomes, you feel it's worthwhile if you matter to other people, and so that was very healing.
There's the power of the mind, the power of the heart. It is. It's beyond anything you could possibly take. I mean, listeners, I know you're hearing a lot of contradictions here, what you've normally heard, because Anne is saying, well, she's had ice cream and all this carrot juice and apple and all these things that were told feed the cancer, and yet she turned it around. And I don't want people to get confused. I want people to be very clear that Anne picked a way that she knew was right for her, but also had a lot of positive people around her, people that cared about her, and she believed more than anything that she could heal. And that is ultimately the foundation of all healing. And that message is coming across loud and clear. So, Anne, in the last couple minutes here of the radio show, I want you to think about what you would tell somebody who has had a diagnosis of cancer and they're very afraid and they don't have a lot of support. What would you say to them? In the meantime, let me just tell people again that this show is being recorded. We do have it available for you. All you have to do is go to our brand new website called www.completecleansesystem.com. Complete Cleanse System is my new site that will be focusing mostly on cleansing and detoxing the system, anything from cancer to any and all disease, actually, that is on this earth. It's just horrendous how these diseases are just taking over, and it's time to learn the truth of what can be done. So I'm focusing on the detox cleansing part, but as you could hear, we have lots and lots of people on here, radio, TV shows, and all kinds of people who are sharing their expertise, their journey of what it takes to heal any and all disease. And lots of them use food, lots of them use emotional and spiritual healing, lots of them use different therapies. It's just a wide range. And so it's like a buffet, I always tell people. I said, pick and choose the things that you like, that fit right with you, where you are right now. And if you resonate with someone, hey, reach out and go through my website and contact me and say, hey, I heard this story and I want to talk to that person, and we'll make sure you guys get connected, because these are average people who are more than willing to sit and chat with you a few minutes and keep you going and keep you on the right track so that you could get through your cancer healing journey. So again, just get connected with me, stay in my loop, and that would be at my website, CompleteCleanseSystem.com, and we'll make sure that you do stay in the loop. So, and in the last few minutes, first of all, we want to tell people again that you're going to have a book ready for them, and then they can email you directly. So the name of that book again is?
Curing Cancer with Carrots.
Okay, Curing Cancer with Carrots by Ann Cameron.
And you can
email?
My email is the same thing, Curing Cancer with Carrots at hotmail.com.
Okay, we're working on Ann getting that website up so that she could get it, or we'll have it on Amazon for you somewhere and make it easily accessible. But if you contact me at CompleteCleanseSystem.com, my main website now, then we'll make sure that you guys get connected. Again, that's CompleteCleanseSystem.com. You know, and a lot of times, I think you said at the beginning of the show, a lot of times people are just sick and tired of taking 200 pills at a time and changing everything. They want something really simple that works. And I think your system is about as simple as it could possibly get. You figured out what it takes to focus on your healing emotionally. You figured out the therapy that works for you, and it was as simple as it gets. So what would you tell somebody who is really afraid and they're kind of stuck in that? That's normally what I hear when they email me. They're just stuck in that fear. They're almost paralyzed and don't know which way to turn, and they're jumping from here to there and everywhere. What kind of words of encouragement can you tell them?
I think it's so usually so sudden, this news about the cancer, and it just blows you to smithereens. And I think it's important to give yourself time and not say, yes, I'll do chemotherapy right away, or not say I'm going to give myself time and I have time to heal this. One of the women that has gone to Carrots, I think she was very near death when she started, and in 2 weeks she was incredibly better. And in 4 weeks she was back to her work, she's a Mayan woman, as a midwife, where she could hardly walk two steps before. I guess what I'm just saying is give yourself time and trust your inner wisdom. This, tell yourself that you can do it, and that there is an inner voice. There seemed to me to be an inner voice that told me, you're standing on the edge of a cliff, and don't take one step forward. That I thought the chemotherapy was wrong for me, and it was, and I can now give you 10 reasons why it was wrong. But I also think for picking your doctor, if you don't like the doctor, find another or get a second opinion, and the answers with a bit of time will come to you. But if you get scared and start running, that's bad. And I think it's in the case of my husband, who decided to do nothing and believed he, you know, that he had no, I don't think he believed the things that I thought were going to cure him would cure him. And it turned out that he was right, but he faced death, and he did everything to help make my life better, you know, as he was getting weaker. And he stayed fully involved with me and with his family. And I think he triumphed over cancer and death by doing that. And I think by admitting, or all of us admitting, that, yes, we are going to die someday, then you just say, well, what circumstances do I want to live in meantime? And how kind of person do I want to be? And what memories do I want to leave behind? And at the same time, so I say, face it, that first, but then determine that it's not going to be this cancer and it's not going to be any treatments that you're against.
Right, exactly. All right, Anne, well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And we'll be looking forward to seeing that book. Yeah, absolutely. My listeners, thank you so much for your time as well. Thank you for being here, listening, and being an open-minded person who says, hey, I just want to hear what somebody else has gone through with their cancer. And you did. And if you have questions, again, go to my website at CompleteCleanseSystem.com, and we'll make sure that you could get the replay on this and listen to it. Share it with others if you'd like to, and understand that there is another way. All right, everybody, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Take care. God bless. Good night, everybody.